Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, a wonderful approach family. This is Mama Seven. We are up doing radio. Hopefully everybody has gotten something to nibble on. I told everybody yesterday. The sun's getting up even earlier. Oh my goodness. But we are at day 21 of our devotions. 21 of this fast. 21 out of 30. This is one of the longer fasts that we do, but with this fast, you can mark the days off the calendar. You can say, okay, I can see the end. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we are at the end of the tunnel. You know, we only have, what, 9 days after this one? What? Oh, we are good, family. We are good. I woke up today with a real sense of peace. Yesterday, I was in a frenzy yesterday between cleaning and working with others. And, you know, I think I have about 15 million conference calls and everything else like that. Working to get the water ritual together. Very exciting. May 22nd, Beaufort, South Carolina. But working on getting everything situated, working on, relationships, working on with so many different people in different aspects of their life. And I heard a lot of positivity. It was very beautiful for me. I heard a lot of acceptance, people starting to really be aware of where they are in their own life and what they're doing. I heard growth in places where there had been stagnation. I heard growth. I heard positivity, you know. And if anyone who's ever done any fast knows that by when you get to that 11th hour, you can get hungry. You can get hangry. You can get cranky, irritable, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I saw some people fighting to maintain themselves. That's always a beautiful thing. You know, we should be working to maintain self. We should be working to make whatever adjustments we need to make, whatever. But 100%, it was an absolute wonderful day and productive. Even the parts that were uncomfortable were productive. So I think that led into this feeling of, this exhale. I'm nowhere near done. Jeez, I don't even think I'm in the middle when it comes to how much work I have to do. But I'm starting to see the progress. And not just in myself and not just in the housework and not just in any work, all of my 15 million projects. I'm starting to see the progress in others. And that brings me joy. I'm starting to see evolution, that brings me joy, you know. And oh, I didn't want to bother you. How can you bother me when you're bringing me such good news? And not that the news is good, you, the way you're handling it is great. So, you know, just a little something there for 15 million people I spoke to. Really keep up the good fight. Keep up the good fight. Even if you have to take a knee every now and again, take the knee with grace and then come back with a good fight. All right? Okay, so this, our topic today, the necessity of self-love, this is one of those heart topics for me. I got a couple of topics where I really do believe that until we get this done, we don't know anything. You're not going anywhere. I don't care how many books you memorize, how many prayers you memorize. Until we get certain aspects of our soul, we have like a soul and a spirit. Spirit is the God part, right? That is the part that when this body lays down, that's the part that will continue, right? Then we have this soul. This soul is ours. You know, we own the soul part. You know, that's our piece. And our peace will hold up diminish, choke out, deter, taint that spirit. I really do believe. Now, my mother's the unconditional love. I don't know nothing about that yet. I haven't grown up to that point. But self-love, you got to get that in place. You know, in fact, self-love is the only love that I think can be unconditional, the love that you give to yourself. You know, even children will grow up. You know, even children will have their challenges. You want to strangle them and all that good stuff. But the love for yourself, I do a lot of reading on self-love. I do a lot of writing, a lot of speaking on it. I have retreats dedicated to it. I've been doing this retreat, this self-love retreat, 7-8 years now. It ain't nothing to play with. It's nothing to play with. And if you ever want to challenge yourself, if you ever really want to find out what you made of, you come to that self-love retreat. You will know. I promise you won't come down the same. I promise you that. But this is one of those things where I believe, you know, if I had a platform in life, if God came to me personally and said, Mama Seven, because they want seven, but if he said, daughter, what gift would you like to leave the world? You know, I'm feeling generous today. What would you like to leave the world? And I would say, I wish everyone could have their own self-love. Because I know that would solve everything. Everything. Because when you love yourself, you do not do certain things. You're not going to put yourself in harm's way. Why? Because you love yourself. Why am I going to do that? I love myself. When you love yourself, you're not going to, you'll have a basis as to what love is. A lot of people, you know, I get the pleasure / challenge of mentoring and counseling a lot of different people. And I find this lack of love of self to be one of the most detrimental aspects I can find. Bigger than substance abuse, bigger than a rough childhood. To me, a rough childhood is not having no self-love. You know? So here we are in the middle of this life, and our self-love is off. Mm-mm. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. So, you know, this is one of the hardest things, I believe, that we need to work on. This is the thing, I believe, that if we worked on it as individuals and as a collective, that it would save us from ourselves. We are the ones putting ourselves in trouble. We are that person. So 100%, got to get this piece in place, okay? When we are children, oh, super easy. When we are children, our mother, our father, the church, whoever, has the opportunity to put self-love into us. You know, sometimes it's as simple as coochie-cooing a baby, you know what I'm saying? But they have the opportunity to nurture, to nourish, to provide, to be sweet and loving. They have the ability to do that easily. And you will receive it as truth easily. Once you have a basis of love as a child, you can then have a basis for self-love. Get it? First, you see and receive love. Then you begin to have that love circle within you. You begin to understand what this love is for. You begin to be able to, you know, project it out. You know, children are they're sponges. What we put into them, they put out. And they can put out something as beautiful and as necessary as love. If you speak to a child considerately, sweetly, intentionally, they will do the same in all of their settings. But if you were talking to this kid like a dog and treating it less than that, I mean, I know dogs, they get pretty good treatment now. But if you were treating this kid like that, they're going to grow up without that. They're going to grow up with a lack. And in that lack creates holes and makes it very, very difficult for that child, that young adult, that adult to receive self-love. Anything that interrupted that love process for you as a child will be the very thing that you will struggle with. I don't think parents realize how important their job is, period. They focus on 15 million other things, but they don't know how important that job of parenting is, and therefore they don't really pay attention when they're doing it. What that child, how that child develops in the first 5 years of their life will determine the rest of their life. I wish more people paid attention to that. But whether you got enough as a child, whether you didn't, as an adult, we're all adults at this point, not a kid show. We're all adults here. As adults, we are now responsible for our self-love. And that's something else people don't want to do. People would love to rather blame their mama, their ex, that first love, the second love, the 15th love, whatever number you're on. People would rather blame this person did this to me, that person. And guess what? I've heard some horror stories of how people were inconsiderate and interfered with someone's natural development. Oh, it pains me to my core. And I'm so, and if no one says it, document this day of May 2nd where I said it, I'm sorry that you had to go through that. See? I'm sorry that someone did not do enough to protect you. I'm sorry that someone overstepped their bounds and their own hurt and pain bleeded onto you. Let it be known on this day, you received an apology for the atrocities of others. And I can, it doesn't make it feel any better, but I can tell you that hurt people hurt people. So whoever hurt you, whoever interfered with your love process as a child was probably interfered with themselves. You see, it's a cycle of abuse. It's a cycle of neglect. A lot of times people can only give you what they had. You know, I'm sure as adults, we can all look and say, I wanted you to do this. I needed this from you. But we can all do that. But the truth of the matter is, they can only give you what they had. And our people, all of our people, I don't care what race you are, have had a history of abuse, of neglect, of hurt, of pain, of struggle. See? So if that's what you got, that's what she had. But I'm so glad that we're here today. Because being here today gives us the opportunity to work on this for ourselves. It doesn't fully matter where this pain came from. All that matters is that it's now here and it's interfering with your ability to fully engage in life, fully engage in other relationships, fully engage, period. It's holding you back. And everybody can feel when you're holding back. It's crazy, I know, but we can feel it. Spouse can feel when you're holding back. Your children can feel when you're holding back, when you're not all the way there. You know, I don't know if you've ever spoken to someone who's half listening. You're like, They're not looking at you. They type in. And you're like, look, will you just stop for a second and listen? Because you're dragging out a two-minute conversation. Just give me all your attention for a minute. Right? Everybody's experienced that. We can feel that, too, in our relationships, that you're not all here, that you're not all focused, that you're not giving me 100%, 80%. See, I don't care. You can keep a little bit for yourself, but you're not giving me all or nothing. You know what I'm saying? You're not even giving me all your leftovers. So we have to work on that. The other pitfall of self-love is not only will people have holes in their understanding of love, I have my other group of people that they'll create almost fantasy worlds. They fill the holes with lies. They fill the holes with, you know, stories of grandeur, all this other stuff. And they're just lies. They're just something to fill up their pain. You know, they have imaginary love with a Facebook friend that they've never even seen before. They'll have a whole romantic experience with their favorite TikToker, whatever. They get over-involved in all these celebrities because in their mind they're having this relationship. Oh, well, he says he likes tall women, so I got to learn how to walk in heels. Girl, sit down. You know, what's the problem with having lies? Oh, those are fantasies. When it comes to yourself, you know, there's a difference between a lie and denial, okay? When you are lying, when you're straight lying, you know the truth. You are intentionally trying to mislead, so you lie. Denial is when you can't tell the truth from the fiction. That's when you believe the lie. See, this is the problem with lying to yourself. When you lie to yourself, part of you believes that lie. Part of you believes this is what we're looking for. And see, I believe in the law of attraction. If you keep thinking and putting all your energy into this, that's what you're going to attract. You're like, oh, that's just for fun, Mama Seven. Yeah, but what are you putting into the universe? If you in a relationship with Idris, and I don't blame you, Idris is quite lovely on the eyes. I don't know about his real personality. I don't know if he's a kind person, if he has a relationship with God. I don't know any of that. I know he's nice on the eyes. But if you have a whole relationship with this man and he doesn't know you exist, but you're in a relationship, how is God going to put a relationship in your life if you're already in a relationship? God wouldn't do that. If you're in a relationship, he's going to let you be in a relationship. Right? But you and I know that, what, a million other people are in a relationship with Idris? Come on. You are blocking yourself by setting up a signal that you're in a relationship. This is why I don't play with people. You can't play around and be, oh, yeah, we don't. No, no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, no. Because I don't want to block what God got planned for me by playing in the sandbox. I'm not going to play in the sandbox. I'm not playing. I'm not playing at all. So we have to be cautious about the energy we put out. We have to be cautious about falling in love with people who don't know our names. Falling in love when this is not a loving situation. Because if you don't have a gap there, then how is God going to fill it? If there's no vacancy, if there's no opening, how can God fill that? So even when it comes to self-love, we have to be able to acknowledge what we have, what we got. There's some things out there we got that were good, that were positive, that helped us along our way. Okay, great. But we also have to be honest about what we don't got. I don't have this right here. I'm missing this. If you can be honest about that, then you can run a risk of getting it answered, of getting it solved. But if you keep pretending like it's not a problem, if you keep pretending like anybody can see it, everybody can feel it and everything, but you're the one that's saying, oh, no, it's not a problem. How can God fix what ain't broken? See, I'm going to let God know, God, I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. It's not working. No. Mm-mm. And that lets God know. And after that, then I got to move to the side. I got to move away. And God can help fix it. It is the same with our spirit and our soul. If we never move away, if we never expose the truth that sometimes I'm not liking who I am, what I do, blah, blah, blah. When sometimes that self-esteem gets low, you got to be able to raise your hand and say, hey, I got a problem, and be able to follow the steps to get it fixed. Because guess who else can see that your self-love is off? Guess who else can see your self-esteem is lacking? Yep, Mr. Negative. Yeah, yeah, you know, the predators can see. And I say mister, it ain't always a mister. Unfortunately, I also have some female predators. Not cool, ladies, but this is out there. It seems like, you know, taking advantage of people, being less than, all that stuff, that don't have no gender specific. That's not, you know. We can't sit here and point our fingers, you know, at one race and be like, oh, they are the ones. Yeah, we may not have looked around recently, but we have some other issues going on. We can't look and see, oh, it's just the young folk. Mm. We can't say, oh, those old fogies, they do. Negativity comes in all shapes and sizes, unfortunately. Unfortunately. So we have to be able to protect ourselves from all shapes and sizes. We have to be able to really understand what is self-love and how can we really put those parameters in place, okay? How do we get honest about some things? How do we let God know, God, you know, I need some help? I think the first part of this is evaluating where you are. Where are you? Do you love yourself? How? What does that look like? What does it look like when you love yourself? I know most people that love themselves, they want to eat. They want to eat right because they want themselves to last a nice long time. People that love themselves, they don't do damaging things to their mind, body, or spirit. They're not going to damage themselves because they love themselves. You see what I'm saying? Certain behaviors they're not going to do. Certain people they're not going to be around. If you always got something smart to say, you always trying to jump down somebody's throat, somebody that has self-love, they're not going to be over there. They're not going to be all up in your face. Because I'm like, what you're not going to do is tear down what I'm working on. I won't show up. And I'm bad. My cutoff game's strong. I will not show up. Try me. Nope, I don't care if we're related. Okay, look, family. who I'm talking to on the radio right now, this is my family. I don't care if you're related to this destructive energy. This person always wanting to nitpick and tear down. I don't care if you're related to them. Because someone is your family does not give them permission to bother you. And I know I'm not going to be bothered. Period. So we got to, when I say we have to make some changes, we have really got to make some changes. Self-love will have you demanding from people respect. Oh, you're going to respect me. I don't care who else you don't respect in the world. Save all that for your mama. You're going to respect me. I don't care who else you don't respect. You can't respect me? Okay, like, can't be over here by you. Let me move myself. Because my family, my ancestors, God, all my angels say I'm worthy of respect. Let me move. Let me move away from you. Now that we're adults, who's responsible for our self-love? Yeah, we are. We are. We are. And it could start today. All I need you to do is sit down with pen and paper and write out self-love. And then let it roll from there. And it should roll. If it doesn't, call me. Call me. Let's talk about it. Where is that self-love? And on one hand, I might want to know where it was. I might want to know who took it. But really, I just want to know what you're willing to do for it. What are you willing to do to get your life right? What are you willing to do so that you can feel whole again? Without self-love, you are like that Swiss cheese. You got holes all over the place. And you can have so many holes that you lose integrity. You know, it's not even a slice of cheese anymore. It's just whatever, because the holes are so big that it's not even enough to hold together. No, let's not live life like that. That's not living. That is not living. Let's change that. We can. We can change that. We can be more. So let's begin to that. Let's begin to work on that. Okay? All right. As usual, I always got to say it for the prayer. I really want everyone to spend some time. You know, it's Sunday. Let's spend some time thinking about our self-love and where it is and where it could be. I promise you there is a bigger, better life. Prayer time. Prayer for worry. Don't want to do that. Okay. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is life not more than food, in the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Amen. There's some truth there. All right, my dears, please spend some time journaling today. This is going to be a heavy one, but it's necessary. Peace.